The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "But we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, each of the four writers of the Gospels records the life of Jesus in a different way. Picking and choosing from all the stories they knew about and what they knew their Lord said and did. Each of them had different experiences and came up with a different combination. Only Matthew and Luke write about Jesus' birth, while John is the only one who tells the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. The Sermon on the Mount is found only in Matthew, and while Luke includes about half of the same sermon in his gospel, he says that it took place on a wide plain. But one thing that all four writers include in their Gospels is this morning's story about the miraculous feeding of the 5,000. It was too important of a story to leave out. It was a story about Jesus' ability to provide for their needs. And not only their spiritual needs, but their human needs as well. When they were sick, Jesus healed them. When they were sad, Jesus blessed them. And when they were hungry, Jesus fed them. The feeding of the 5,000 is a story that carries echoes of other stories, such as the Old Testament story about how manna fell from the sky to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness. This was the first bread miracle that God worked on their behalf. But there are several others recorded in the Old Testament as well. So this morning's miracle story is one in a series of bread miracles in the Bible, and an impressive one at that. Jesus feeds 5,000 men, Matthew tells us, not counting the women and children, which you know were also present. Now let's figure that there were probably twice as many women and children as there were men. At least that, maybe more. So that brings the number fed up to around 15,000. Now Matthew doesn't name the town. Luke says it was near Bethsaida, a village on the Sea of Galilee at the far northeast side. It was a fishing village. Bethsaida was also the home of the disciples, Peter, Andrew, and Philip. These were all small fishing villages around that northwest corner of Galilee. Smaller towns, so the crowd would have come from many of the surrounding villages and towns to get to a group of that size. So Jesus feeds what amounts to be a very large crowd of 15,000 plus people with five loaves and two fishes. A meal that multiplies until no one can eat any more. And the leftovers fill 12 baskets. It is a miracle. And perhaps that should be the end of that. But miracles tend to nag at those of us who do not experience them very often. We tend to wonder things, like, how did it happen exactly? Did Jesus multiply the loaves all at once so that the disciples had to recruit people from the crowd to help them carry all that bread and fish? Or did it happen as the loaves were being passed through the crowd? When someone tore off a chunk, did the loaf suddenly grow back? As you reached out to take a loaf, did it sort of jump in your hand and get bigger? Or did new loaves appear when no one was looking? Maybe you set yours down for a moment, and as you shifted your child from one arm to the other, and when you reached down to pick it up again, there were two loaves instead of one. Don't you wonder how it exactly happened? Don't you wish you were there? Now, Matthew does not tell us how it happened, nor any of the other gospel writers. What he does tell us is that the miracle happened in a solitary place, which was where Jesus had gone after he had heard the news that John the Baptist was dead. Beheaded at the whim of a dancing girl, having heard that, he wanted to be alone. And who could blame him? He had lost his prophet, the man who had baptized him, and who had devoted his whole life to preparing the way of the Lord. It was very bad news. And when Jesus heard it, he withdrew in a boat to a solitary place. But the crowds followed him on foot from all the surrounding towns. He may have needed to be alone, but they had needs of their own. They were sick, they were sad, and they were hungry. And while anyone but the Son of God might have ordered them to get lost, Jesus had compassion on them. His heart went out to them, and he spent the afternoon walking among them, laying on hands on them and saying the things they needed to hear. When evening fell, the disciples found him and suggested that he send everyone home to buy supper in the nearby villages. They meant no harm. They were simply being practical. Night was falling. They were out in the middle of nowhere, and their stomachs were beginning to growl. It was time to call it a day. Time to build a campfire and eat the little bit of food they had brought with them. It was time to take care of themselves for a change and suggest to everyone else that they do the same. But Jesus had a different idea. They need not go away, he said, seeming to know that what the crowd needed more than a hot meal was to stay together. Seeming to know that there was more nourishment for them in each other's company than in some fresh goat milk or boiled rice. Sometimes after very bad news, it does not matter what you eat as long as you eat it with someone you love, someone who cares. They need not go away, Jesus said to his disciples. You give them something to eat. I wish I'd been there. I wish I could have seen the look on the disciples' face when Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Us? You're in charge here. You're the boss. What do you mean? We give them something to eat. All we have between us is 5 loaves and 2 salted fish. That's hardly a snack for 12 men. Never mind 5,000. There are 5,000 hungry men out there, Jesus. No disrespect intended, but you are not making sense. He may not have been making sense, but then again, he had a sense of the situation that went beyond the disciples' common sense. They were, after all, operating out of a sense of scarcity. They looked at the crowd, saw no picnic baskets filled with food or backpacks, and assumed that no one had anything to eat. They looked at their own meager resources and assumed that it was not enough to go around their own circle, much less to feed the whole crowd. But Jesus operated out of a different set of assumptions. If the disciples operated out of a sense of scarcity, then what Jesus operated out of was a sense of plenty. He looked at the same things the disciples looked at, but where they saw not enough, he saw plenty. Plenty of possibilities with the resources at hand and God. What Jesus knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was that wherever there was plenty of God, there would be plenty of everything else. So he asked the disciples to bring their food to him. And he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. And he proceeded to bless the 5 loaves and the 2 fish in front of them all. Perfectly confident that God would turn not enough into more than enough. Can you imagine what it must have been like to watch him do that? To be sitting in the crowd, watching Jesus bless 5 loaves and break them and give them to his disciples to give to a crowd that went on forever, they did not know they were in for a miracle. After all, and anyone could do the arithmetic, 5 loaves divided by 5,000 equals 1 loaf per 1,000 men. The problem with miracles, though, is that we focus on what God does and overlook our part. Now, I've read this story many times, and I'm sure you have as well. The miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000. But I know when I've read it, I overlooked an important part. An element that is important to remember, especially when we remember that Jesus calls us to serve one another. Jesus asked the disciples to give the crowd something to eat, but they were reluctant. They didn't think they had enough. Then Jesus said, "Bring what you have to me." And he blessed it. That's when it happened. That's when the miracle happened. Jesus could have dropped bread from heaven, but no. He used his followers and what little they had. It reminds me of a story my dad told me. It wasn't about bread, but it was about bread, money, you know, we call money bread. And after he became a Christian, he started tithing to the church, giving 10%. Now, you know, we came from a family with seven kids. My mom, she worked hard staying at home, taking care of the kids, tending the garden, canning, all the things mothers used to do that were hard work, washing clothes, hanging them out on the line outside. So we had one income, my dad's. It wasn't a lot. He didn't have an education. And he told me that before he started tithing to the church, there was never enough money to do everything that needed to be done. Shoes for the kids, food and stuff. But after he started tithing, that the money that was left, the 90% that was left, went much farther than the 100% used to go. In a way, that's a miracle in itself. The problem with miracles is that we tend to get mesmerized by them, focusing on God's responsibility and forgetting our own. Miracles let us off the hook. They appeal to the part of us that is all too happy to let God feed the crowd, save the world, let God do it all. After all, we don't have what it takes. What we have to offer is not enough to make any difference at all. So we hold back and we wait for a miracle, looking after our own needs and looking for God to work a miracle to take care of others' needs. We can hang on to our own little loaves of bread. They are not much. They would not go far. Besides, if Jesus is in charge of the bread, doesn't that excuse us from sharing our own? Let God provide. Send the crowds away, the disciples say. Let them buy food for themselves. But Jesus says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. No one knows how it really happened. Your guess is as good as mine. But what Jesus said to his disciples then, he still says to us today. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. And we say, but Lord, we don't have enough. And Jesus says, bring what you have here to me. And how it then becomes enough for us and others, is a mystery. But the fact that it does is a miracle.